Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the webinar presentation on Spotlight on France Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program 2019-2020. This is a webinar, and thank you for joining us on a Friday afternoon. And as my colleague Mary Rolfe said, that you can all hear us and see the presentation well, we are ready to start. So this is, again, an opportunity for you all to learn more about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program for 2019-2020 in France. My name is Aphrodita Krasnici. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Analyst for the Institute of International Education office in New York City. And we have the honor to have with us today Fulbrighter Dr. Suzanne Judd. She's a Fulbright Scholar to France, currently in France. And thank you, Dr. Judd, for joining us live from France. We are looking forward to hearing about your experience. And also, would you like to say something to our audience?
Just like to say it's great to be here tonight. It's a little bit later for me at about 8 o'clock France time. But it's really great to talk to all of you who are interested in an award. I was pursuing the same award 2 years ago and sat on a webinar just like this, so it's exciting for me to be kind of full circle back on again.
Thank you, Dr. Jod. That's very inspiring. So Dr. Jod is an associate professor at Department of Biostatistics at the University of Alabama in Birmingham. So just to learn a little bit more about the Fulbright program, for those of you who are not familiar with the program, it was established in 1946, and the main purpose of the program was to build mutual understanding and strengthen these relationships between the people of the United States and citizens of the rest of the world. The program was funded from the beginning by the U.S. government, the U.S. Department of State, Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and administered by the Institute of International Education here in the States, whereas abroad we work closely with the Fulbright binational commissions and also United States embassies or posts. So it's quite a big family, and it's a large program. And here you can see, photo on the left-hand side, Fulbrighter in the 1960s, that was the first time the program started. And then on the right-hand side, you can see also a participant in the Fulbright Arctic Scholar Program just recently. So just to see, how long the program has been going on for 72 years now, and it's really part of a very big family. It's one of the most prestigious programs in the world with the biggest number of recipients. Many world leaders are Fulbright alumni, like, for example, the current president of Croatia, prime minister of Slovenia, and many others. We have about 380,000 participants from 1960s until now who have attended the program, and we do send about 800 U.S. scholars annually. The program, the whole program, the Fulbright program is active in 160 countries, and you can see there are many of the Fulbright alumni who have won Nobel Prizes and Pulitzer Prizes, MacArthur Fellows, and many of them also Presidential Medals of Freedom Awards. So this is quite a great opportunity. But first of all, just to give you a little bit of background about the program, it offers teaching, research, or a combination of both, teaching and research in over 125 countries. In order to be eligible for the Fulbright program, Fulbright U.S. Scholar program, one must be a U.S. citizen. Because remember, this is a bilateral program, and you will be a cultural ambassador of the United States abroad. So that's why it's very important to keep note that this is the first important criteria. Then it's the degree as required by the award. Every award has different degree requirements. Sometimes they require a PhD or other terminal degrees, and sometimes this is not required. So they are open to applicants with master's or a substantial professional or academic experience. Besides the professionals or academics, the program is open to professionals or artists outside academia with recognized standing and substantial accomplishments. Teaching experience is different and varies by every award is different. And please keep also note that there are new policies on previous Fulbright scholars. So now the waiting period between two grants has to be 2 years. So that's the new rule. It used to be 5 years, now it's 2 years. How do you select the right award? Well, it's very important to look at the award requirements and then match your expertise and experience on what the host institution really wants. And if you have regional experience, sometimes it would help you and will make your application stronger. Discipline preference is listed in the award. Every award, except for those that are all disciplines, some of the awards are really specific to what are their preferences in the discipline. And it's very important to put in your project description or project statement why is it important to friends? Like, what will friends benefit from this particular project, and how will the host institution or host country benefit from your idea or your project? Again, pay attention to the career level, because many of the awards are different, and the level of the scholars in their career, what they require is different, from early career to postdoc, mid-level, or even distinguished chairs. And this is, France offers opportunities for all of these different levels in your career. The Fulbright competition, as you know, opened in March 2018, and the application deadline is August 1st this year. Applicants must apply to one specific award in one country, and in a minute we'll show you the catalog of awards, and you can review individual award descriptions. First of all, I wanted to address some of the common questions that I receive about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program to France. I've highlighted some here, and the first question, very common question is my discipline represented? Well, French awards offer, again, a diverse opportunities from scholars in many academic fields, from artists, art fields to STEM fields. There are 11 awards offered this year in France in all disciplines, in specific disciplines like biology and health, food, physics, chemistry, material sciences, and many others. So just try to focus on the what is your background and what would be the best match for you. In terms of career stage, again, these are the opportunities are different, and there is a wide range of opportunities for a wide range of scholars. Some awards are specifically designed for early career applicants, and France offers opportunity in the postdoc award in social sciences with junior research. And on the other end of the spectrum, France offers the Fulbright Chapuis Distinguished Chair Award that is open to more senior scholars with significant teaching or publications. If you're interested in these awards but don't have a pre-existing contact at a French institution, we do have resources to help you guide through the process. Our website includes a page dedicated to letters of invitation and developing contacts abroad. And one of the suggestions shared there is to consult the Fulbright Scholar Directory. This is a searchable archive of recent grantees, and you can see also the recent Fulbrighters, and if you have any specific questions for France Award, you can reach out to them. Many times we get asked if applicants need to be fluent in French. the language requirements vary by awards. For example, if there are language requirements to conduct a research project, that you need to indicate if you speak the language or if you plan to use a translator. If the language is required for your teaching activity or research, it will be clearly indicated on the award description. You just need to submit a language evaluation that needs to be done by a language teacher or head of the department of French language at your university, or just anyone who speaks the language fluently. So these are like some of the common questions that we have received, and just wanted to address those. So if you run a basic general search for France, you'll see that there are 11 awards offered for 2019-2020 in teaching research and just research alone. There is an opportunity to do a two-week seminar for international education administrators in France. So I would encourage you to review all of these awards that might be a good match for your background, interest, and even expertise. But again, we'll take a look at the catalog of awards live later on, and today we'll just discuss some of the specific highlighted awards that I wanted to mention. But before we do that, I would like to give a chance, an opportunity for Dr. Suzanne Judd, who is on the call live from France, and just talk about her experience in France and how is her Fulbright going in France. So Dr. Judd, again, if you'd like to tell us more, you're welcome. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am currently in Bordeaux, France at the University of Bordeaux. I applied to a regional Fulbright Scholar Award. One of the regions is the Nouvelle-Aquitaine, which is in the southwest of France. I applied for an all-research grant because in the process, one of the things you'll do with your Fulbright is reach out to institutions that may have research or teaching areas that are similar to yours. And the institution that I reached out to was a primarily research-focused group, and they were really interested in research. I had actually hoped to do some teaching over here because I do a lot of research in the United States, and I kind of wanted a break to do a little bit of teaching. But one of the most important things with the Fulbright is to be flexible with your host country. And the people that I met at the University of Bordeaux were really interested in the type of research that I do. So I applied to an all-research award back in 2016, I guess it was now, and it's a six-month award. I did a six-month award from January 1st until July 1st. I actually came over here with my husband and my 10-year-old son. The picture in the webinar is my 10-year-old son's arm as we went to visit Nîmes a couple of weekends ago. They were having a Roman Games festival and actually did some ancient gladiator battle recreations in their Roman arena. It was really neat. So my experience after I put in the Fulbright application, honestly, just the application process itself opened doors to me. The process of reaching out to various institutions and talking about what I do and what they do provided me with collaborators at the University of Bordeaux that I started working with in the summer of 2017 before I'd even started my Fulbright. So just the application process alone was helpful for me for my career. I put a couple of tips on the slide you can see now. Number one is that develop a relationship with your partner in France for your application. I can't underscore this enough. I also had the opportunity this spring to review Fulbright applications with the French committee. Arnaud Rougeau puts together a grant application committee, and local scholars, people that are in Paris that are French but have a researcher teaching interest. We all sit on a committee together to review the applications that have made it through the U.S. process. And that having a relationship with a partner was one of the most important things that we looked at. We wanted to make sure that the applicants had talked to an institution in France and had a plan for what they were going to do, but also made it very clear that they were willing to modify their plan, which is my my second bullet point. Don't be afraid to modify your plan to create a stronger application or working situation. It really strengthens your application if you show that you can be flexible, that you can, maybe you wanted to teach, but you're able to do research and willing to do research with the people that are at the university, like I put on my application. Also, when you're looking at different places, I recommend the Euraxis website. This came to me from Charlotte Goodwin, and if you're really considering France as your the place where you want to go, Charlotte is with Fulbright France, and she was incredibly helpful as I was putting my application together to let me know what the process was in France, to help me understand the different universities and how they might be structured. I do public health research, so she helps me narrow in to a group that really focuses in the area that I conduct my work in. So developing those partnerships, talking to the Fulbright France people, and having some flexibility in your application, it really goes a long way, both from what I experienced personally, but also when I was reviewing grants. Like I said, that was really important to us, that we saw that people understood what it was like to be in France, that they weren't afraid to change the what they were doing when they got here, because once you put a grant application in and it's funded a year and a half later, things may have changed. Priorities can shift, new research is published, course schedules change at different universities, new degrees are offered, and if you can show that you're flexible and willing to move and within your area of expertise, it really goes a long way to strengthen your relationship. I do not have to speak French in my job, but my colleagues, we socially speak French. So in work settings, when there are presentations, it's often in English, but in the cafeteria and when we go out after work, if there are dinners, those are all in French. But I was not required to be fluent in French for the application. The research lab that I work in brings in scholars from all over the world. So we had some people from Japan in for a while, from Brazil, Portugal, Germany. So it's English is really the language that we use when we're discussing the science. But the French has been important for social situations. I also enrolled my son in public school. So I have some experience with the French education system. He's been in the equivalent of fourth grade elementary school here in Bordeaux at the public school and has had a great experience. He spoke a little French, not much, before we got here. One of the students at my university, UAB, came over a couple of days a week. She was from Algeria, and so she tutored him for about 2 hours for a year leading up to coming. So he sort of understood the structure of the language, but certainly didn't speak it. And we just put him right in French public school and have had a good experience with that. The people at Euraxis helped us to find language programs for my husband, so he's been able to take some immersion French courses while he's been here. He didn't speak French at all before he got here, and he's been able to take the language courses, and his language has really, French language has come quite a long way since we got here in January. So there are lots of opportunities to do your work, to experience France and the culture that France brings, and see a different perspective. The research is great, but you know what I do nutrition research. I study dietary patterns, and the truth is that in any language, dietary patterns are pretty much the same, but socially and culturally, my life is so different here. We eat together with lunches, and they're long lunches, two-hour lunches, that are very social, and there are courses that go with it, and the cheese course that comes after the main meal, and you have to set up a bank when you get over here, which is another huge cultural shift from what we do in the United States. So another thing we did look for in the grant applications was some acknowledgement from the applicant that they understood that the process would be complicated, that that they could kind of roll with the punches in the new situation. Because in the U.S., just one example, when you open a bank account, you walk into the bank and say, I would like to open a bank account, and here are my documents. In France, you walk in and say, I'd like to open a bank account, and they say, okay, come back next Tuesday, here's your appointment. And so you have an appointment with a banker, and in my experience, my banker got sick a week later when our appointment was scheduled, so then it was rescheduled for the next week. So it was two full weeks before I was able to get a bank account. And you have to be able to just let those things go and know that everything will work out the way that it's going to work out, but it won't happen on American time. And I think I'll stop there. I can say some more in a little bit if you want, or I can continue to speak now.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Judd, for sharing your experience, and especially day-to-day life, and how you know, you need to adjust to the new circumstances, and that you're flexible. And that is a very important aspect when the committee reviews applications. That is something that how flexible and how well you can adjust to new circumstances. That means that you definitely can connect with a local culture, you can connect with the local community. So yeah, this is something that all the participants who are listening should consider when they're crafting their applications. So we move on to the award descriptions. I just wanted to, here is a snapshot of the Fulbright-Tocqueville Distinguished Chair Award in France, and just wanted to show you how this looks like and what you need to search for. So again, here you have the description, the grant activity, and then also this is for teaching or research award, and it's open to Distinguished Chair. So this is an opportunity for 6 months to do these activities, and then a PhD is required. So just for you to pay attention to this. So every, like for France, I am the person, the point of contact. If you have any questions, you have my phone number and the email address for the europeeurasia@iie.org. But if you are interested to and have more questions, feel free to reach out and I will be available to answer any questions. I would like to also continue to highlight the other awards that are, for example, the Grand Est Regional Award is part of Eastern France, and the Grand Est Regional Awards offer opportunity for two to four grants in a university or research center in the Grand Est region. So as you can see on the map where this part on the East France is, open to all level of scholars, including early career, so keep note of that, and the grantees will be expected to reside in the region of the award, so they will be living there. The region welcomes candidates in all disciplines, particularly in the fields in which the region is especially strong, new generation materials and technologies, advanced manufacturing, machines and equipment, and so on. So just you know, for you to keep in mind if you are considering and if you have expertise or background in these particular disciplines. The next award that I would like to highlight is the Haute de France, which is up to 12 months in this region and welcomes candidates in the heart and social sciences as well as the humanities, including like planet, health and intelligence issues. The priority area for the region are multidisciplinary projects including humanities and involving cross-cutting fields in biology, health, food, physics, chemistry, and material sciences. So for you to explore all these opportunities and in the hard sciences. The next opportunity is the one that Dr. Judd is currently doing the Fulbright in, is the Nouvel Aquitaine Award. It is the largest, apparently, or the largest administrative region in France, located in the southwest of the country. So 3 to 9 months of research opportunity in the Nouvel Aquitaine universities or research centers in all fields. So preferably in the following areas in which the regional research teams are especially strong, like the analytical chemistry, materials chemistry, green sustainable chemistry, subsoil energy, optic lasers, and so on. So again, these are very specific awards that offer these wonderful opportunities for these experts. So next, there is, for those of you who don't have a background in the previously mentioned disciplines, there is this opportunity for an old disciplines award. The grant activity is for teaching and research combined, or just research. It is 3 to 6 months. The degree is required, PhD or other terminal degree. It is open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. The category, so they even welcome the early career scholars, but it is open to all levels of scholars. And it welcomes all appropriate disciplines. So here is an opportunity for those who don't have a background or the experience for the other specific disciplines that we mentioned earlier. Again, we mentioned that France has a variety of opportunities from early career, postdoc opportunities up to distinguished chair. Here is another opportunity for EHESS postdoc award in social sciences for junior research. So this is 9 to 12 month opportunity, and 12 months is preferred. So whenever they say preferred, I encourage you just to stick to that and just try to adjust to the grant duration. It is required that you have a PhD or other terminal degrees, but again, PhD is required and must be obtained by June 2019 at the latest. So those who are still as PhD candidates might consider this. Professional profile, this is open only to academics, and it's a postdoc award. Basically, that means only early career applicants. Only career applicants, early career applicants means like who have less than 5 years of experience. And they specialize in American history, American studies, anthropology, area studies, economics, history, non-US history, as well as linguistics, math, philosophy, psychology, and sociology. So these are like some of the disciplines that are required or that are preferred for this award. Other awards in France include Hauts de France Regional Award for Junior Research. See, again, France is very open to early career and mid-career and also distinguished chair. This region in particular welcomes early career candidates for up to 12 months research in the hard and social sciences, as well as the humanities. And the priority areas for the region are multidisciplinary projects, including humanities and involving cross-cutting fields in the biology and health. There is another great opportunity for the Fulbright Parisien University Award. This is 4 to 12 months opportunity to conduct research or a combination of teaching and research and collaborate with colleagues at a research center at any of the 4 member institutions of Parisien University in global complexity. So this is a great opportunity. It's if you want to pursue this, you can also look it up and see if the other requirements. Other awards in France, there is the Fulbright Inea A. Marcel University Chair in Migration Studies. It's 10 months research, and it's any discipline related to migration studies at a specific institute that does the research studies for migration in France, in Marseille, in France. As well as opportunities for arts, humanities, and social sciences in the French Studies Award. This is a 3 to 6 month research. Scholars in any career level, including early career, are welcome to apply. Any field in the humanities or social and political sciences to collaborate with colleagues at French research centers and higher education institutions. Moving on, the last opportunity that I wanted just to highlight here is the 2-week seminar open to higher education administrators in Paris and also two other regions of France. They will participate in a group seminar designed to familiarize U.S. higher education administrators with France's higher education and research centers. The program consists of briefing, campus visits, appointments with selected government officials, networking and cultural activities, as well as meetings with French and international education professionals. The seminar concludes with a French group that will meet with fellow American administrators who are as well participating in a similar IEA program for Germany. So again, if you have administrators within your campus who are interested, and if your campus is interested in making it more international, here's a chance for them to attend, to apply to this 2-week seminar. Now let's move on to a very important aspect, the application component. The application form is online. So you fill it out and everything is submitted online. First, you need to work on your project statement, which is from 3 to 5 pages long. And this is the requirement, so not more, not less, 3 to 5 pages. There are even instructions available on our website. And if you want to download them before you start the application, that would be very helpful for you. You need to provide us with a CV or the most updated CV or resume, especially tailored to this particular award you're applying to. So again, you can apply to only one award in only one country, one award in one country per competition cycle. We require to have 3 letters of references, so at least one of them should attest your teaching ability. Additional components, depending on the award. So if you're applying for teaching awards, we request the syllabi. So, and then if you are applying for just research only awards, we need to see the bibliography for that research. Again, for France, some of the awards might require the language proficiency, fill out the report, and you attach it to the application. Letter of invitation, again, is very important. Sometimes it's preferred, sometimes it's required. Again, like Dr. Judd said earlier, they always pay attention, close attention to if you have established relationship with the hosting institution. So we highly recommend that you do reach out to the host institution or university in France and you do get a letter of invitation from them. We offer guidance on how to reach out to the local host institution and what works best for you to establish this contact. For applicants who apply in the arts, architecture, writing, and journalism, we require you to submit supplemental material. So if it's if you're an artist, then we just want to see the artwork. For architecture, similar writing samples, for writing and journalism as well. So just pay attention to these components that are very important. Next, I would like to discuss the project statement. This is a chance for you to discuss the specifics in your project and give us as much detail as possible. And it is important for the commission here in the state and as well as for the Fulbright Commission to know when they review these applications, why did you choose Fulbright and why France? Why couldn't this research be done, for example, in the U.S. or any other country? So you need just to specify this. Why did you choose a particular institution or university or organization? Focus on what you plan to do. If you plan to teach, then just the specific courses that you have tailored them. You can use the courses or the syllabi you're using in the U.S., but make sure you want to tailor them according to the country needs or the university needs in this case. So this will be all developed once you develop contact with the host institution, and then you will learn from them and make sure that you send them like a brief summary of your project statement when you reach out to them, just to see if this would be something of their interest. Then another factor to consider is outcomes from the grant. Impact on the host, the home institution, so what will your university or your home institution benefit from this experience, and also what will you benefit? That is very important, like personally and professionally. Like Dr. Judd said earlier, it is a personal enrichment as well as professional one. So make sure you specify this. And again, how adaptable are you? Like, can you wait 2 weeks to open your bank account? Or, can you just adjust to the two-hour-long lunch break? I mean, this is like a nice information to get from Dr. John, but definitely every country has specific, or every region in France, I would say, has a different kind of way of day-to-day life. And then how well will you deal with these challenging situations? So if you've been abroad and if you've lived in another country, make sure you tell us that, because that would indicate how flexible you are. So we'll take questions at the end of the presentation. I just want to move on to affiliations and invitations. Again, host institutions are listed on our website. If they are not listed or not identified, there are several resources to help you find the affiliation. First of all, every university or campus should have a Fulbright liaison. If not, they should have an international office that could help you in finding those resources or those contacts. Then there is the Fulbright Scholar Directory, which lists also the U.S. and international scholars as well. Like, you can look up for a French scholar who is currently in the States and then maybe reach out to them. Review award description for suggested posts or resources. Sometimes they list the website, and then on the website you will find the contact information. Sometimes the website is in French. If you click on the English version, it will pop up. Letter of invitation is, again, very important. We have to emphasize this again. It's a non-binding expression of interest from the host abroad. It should come from the person with whom you will be collaborating, not by somebody you never met, but this should be a person that you've already established some contact and that they know your work and what you plan to do there. And it should be on a host institution letterhead. But it can be just sent electronically to you, as long as it is signed and it is on their letterhead, and you can just upload this on your application online. So they don't need to mail this to you, not at all. How to submit a competitive application? Address the Fulbright goal of promoting mutual understanding. So this is the main goal of the Fulbright program. And you would do this by connecting with the students, connecting with the local community. Make sure that you have also this aspect included in your project. Why you're interested in a Fulbright and why the proposed host country, as we said before. You can just highlight the expertise and skills you can offer And again, what will this particular host benefit from you? And again, this is an exchange of knowledge and experience. As much as you will learn from them, they will learn from you. How are you going to be as a cultural ambassador? Because you will be as part of the Fulbright program. You will represent the United States and its values. So demonstrated flexibility, like we can't stress it enough, the outcome, impact, and multiplier effect, like how will this make your campus more international? And future collaborations can come out of, from this program. You plan to connect with the host community and invite professors to maybe come and teach at your U.S. institution later on, and so on. So how do you also plan to use or enrich your curriculum when you go back home and teach in the U.S.? So these are all some of the factors you need to consider as you are filling out your application. Here we have some very helpful resources for you. It's the Fulbright Scholar Program website and the catalog of awards. So here I just would like to pause and just share the catalog of awards with you so that you can see it live, like here for France. Even though it says 14 awards found, actually this includes some other opportunities in the Schumann program, which is another colleague who handled that. So let's just see, for example, the award that Dr. Jod is currently doing, the Nobel Aquitaine Regional Award. So this is, you see four tabs here, the award details, grant activity, grant plan, grant date. So just pay close attention to these and try to put these in your project so that they match. The location, where you want to do this, it doesn't offer the flex option. So this is all the disciplines or specializations that you can pursue. Again, you will have here my contact. This is particular for this award, and you can reach out if you have any other questions. Then you have the award requirements. So the letter of invitation is required, and the language requirements, French language ability commensurate with the requirements of the project. Dr. Jod, if you're still with us, could you just explain maybe a little bit more to the audience, what does this particularly mean, if you would?
Yeah, absolutely. So whichever university or institution you work with will have a language that they typically speak. And when I reached out to my host at the University of Bordeaux to ask about a letter of invitation, I put in that email that what I thought my level of French communication was. This was about a year and a half before I planned on going. And I told him that I have pretty good conversational French, but would be more than happy to spend the next year and a half becoming fluent if that was what was required for the award. He wrote back instantly and said, don't worry about it. We are... all of our work is done in English. I have other colleagues, though, that are at universities where they are required to be fluent in French, and so they need some form of a letter from the language department at their university or their former university where they got their degree to explain what their level of fluency is. And each of my colleagues that I've met here in France that are U.S. scholars, It all varies. Some use a lot of French in their day-to-day work, and some do not.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for answering that. That is very important. So again, just to continue on other requirements, the applicant profile open to academics only. So and then here you have more information and additional comments about the university or the region. Then again, here you are, when you go to the award benefits, you can see the stipend and how much you would be getting depending on the city of placement. So this is also estimated travel and relocation allowance, and then special award benefits, visa fees will be waived for Fulbright grantees and their accompanying dependents. So And again, this is the country overview. Here you will find like how many Fulbrighters, approximately 18 core Fulbrighter scholars attend the program each year in France. And all other information, as well as contact information for the French Franco-American Commission. Here is lovely Ms. Charlotte Goodwin, who will be available if you have any particular questions about any of the universities in France. So it's up to 2 grants will be given for this particular award. It's just research, like we said before, and all the other requirements are listed here. Now, when you scroll up, you will see the apply button here, and that's where it will take you to the application, online application. But before you do that, make sure you check the application guidelines, because here, there are checklists for teaching awards, research awards, all the things you need to do to submit your application, and teaching in combination with research awards. Again, these are like detailed instructions and guidelines and checklists that you need to follow in order for you to have a very competitive application, because completeness is, as you know, if you're part of the academia, it's very important aspect. Again, so if we can just continue on the slide that we were talking about, the application, sorry about the technical glitches. So we covered that, all that is done. And then the resources that I wanted just for you to look at, the website, sorry about the technical difficulties. Yeah, the resources here, anyway, I don't know. So if you want to go to our website, you will see that you will find here, I apologize for the technical difficulties, and then here you will just see like the Join My Fulbright at CIF2.org, like when you express interest, and then email with any questions, if you have questions about France in particular. This is the email address, europeeurasia@iie.org. You can visit our website, it's CIF.org, to learn more about the Fulbright Scholar Program. And there is the referral initiative. If you know of somebody who is qualified and you would like to refer them as well to apply for the program, please feel free to fill this out, and then we'll take a closer look at that, and we'll reach out to the referred colleague. We are very active on social media, so if you want to follow Fulbright on Facebook, and if you want to get the most updates and also learn about what other Fulbrighters are doing, please join us here, and then on Twitter as well and Instagram. So just to go back a little bit to the review process and timeline, in August, like I said, is the deadline, August 1st, is a very firm deadline where we, after that, we will review each application for completeness. After that, we will reach out to individual applicants and make sure that they submit all the necessary letters or references, whatever is missing, back to us. Then in September, the discipline-specific committee reviews the applications. So this is a very busy time for these committees. In September up to early November is the U.S. peer review committee that discusses applications for single geographical regions. So here they would recommend or non-recommend applicants. For further review, that will go to the Fulbright commissions, and in this case in France, and then they would review together with the current Fulbrighters that are in France in this particular case, and then they will send recommendations for the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board to review further on and then approve finalists. in February and May, this is the time now for the last year applicants that are notified of their final approvals, and then the grant packets are sent to them. So now you're applying this August 1st for the 2019-2020, so this would be next year. Another thing for you just to pay attention is the application, again, application instructions, guidelines, even offer project statement guidance and samples. So you can learn also about other opportunities. We do have webinars for specific countries, for specific regions, so you sign up and we'll send you updates. And there is the Fulbright Scholar blog where you can learn about what other Fulbrighters are doing. Definitely connect on my Fulbright. And now I would like to just take some of the questions that we have received so far. I know that French is very popular and we have many questions, so if we are not able to answer all of them today, we'll definitely send you follow-up responses. So I would like just to, are there opportunities in France for applicants who are in the English education field? Or do you find that France is primarily looking for people in the science, math fields? Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question. We do not have opportunities for teaching English as a second language, but definitely you have other opportunities in all disciplines that you want to look for, and maybe you'll find something that is linguistics or but not specified on the English teaching or English language, English education field. We have a question for Dr. Jod. How and when did you receive the feedback about modifying your application, Dr. Jod?
It was actually very, very quick. I came, June, I think I met with some of my, I was looking for research partners in France and took a two-week trip here to France to try to identify some partners. And I got back right around the end of June, and that's when I heard from Charlotte Goodwin that there were regional opportunities more related to health and medicine, which is what I do. And believe it or not, there are not as many science positions as you think. A lot of the Fulbrighters that are here are history, linguistics, social sciences. So it was hard for me to find a public health fit. And I had about 6 weeks to change course once I reached out to the University of Bordeaux to let them know that I was looking for teaching sabbatical options. And they said, well, we have research options. I had to kind of rethink my strategy. So I didn't have a ton of time. I had about 6 weeks to rework my application.
Yeah, thank you about that. That's good to know. That's very helpful, I hope. Another question is, how strict is the PhD requirement? What if you have a master's and 10 years of humanities experience? So this is, again, just pay attention to what is your background and what you want to do, because there are opportunities, again, for some of the awards that do not require a PhD and that are more open to those applicants. So in particular, you know, if you have like a specific interest for postdoc award or other, awards, just take a close look at that. Another question is, do I need to be a Fulbright member? Which is apparently a $70 a year individual membership to participate and apply. Actually, no, the application is for free. You don't need to be a Fulbright member to apply to the Fulbright US Scholar Program. So does one have to be matriculated within the host institution in order to receive an invitation letter? Dr. Jha, do you want to answer this? We know that you don't have to be, but...
You do not. Nope, you don't have to be. Actually, I didn't even know anyone at the University of Bordeaux before I started.
Yeah, that's good to know. Would recently retired academic be at disadvantage in applying for a Fulbright? No, definitely not. Again, like we said, we welcome Fulbrighters in all stages of their career, so feel free to submit your application, and if you have any other questions, feel free to reach out. You're welcome to apply. You're encouraged to apply. One of the old discipline awards, it says PhD is required, but qualified professional outside of academia. Does that include people without PhD? Actually, when they specify in this case that PhD is required, this very term, and this means just professionals with PhD outside of academia. That means that they are not teachers, they are not academics, but they're just qualified professionals. So you should have a PhD to apply for this particular award. And another question for Dr. John, maybe it would be more relevant for you to answer. What are the expectations for host institutions?
For the application that I did for the Nouvelle Aquitaine, there was not a specific requirement for them, other than that they had to give me space to do the research that was proposed. So the in the letter of invitation, my host, who's the director of the INSERM lab, which is kind of similar to the NIH, he wrote in there, Dr. Judd will have access to a computer and the data she needs to complete her research. But that wasn't required in the application. I just thought that would make it stronger, so I asked him to be sure to put that in there.
Thank you, Dr. John. Another great question we have, does the host institution have to be a university? I have a colleague at the National Center for Science Research who may be able to write a letter of invitation. So they don't have to be, not necessarily have to be a university, but we just want to check also with the Fulbright Commission if that is a center, research center that they would work with. And also, Dr. Judd, if you want to add something to this, like they have a list of preferred institutions that they work with, but not necessarily to be university.
Yeah, and I have a colleague who is on a Fulbright right now who's working with one of the science groups. There's a loose affiliation with a university, but it's one of the, I can't think of the name. He's an environmental researcher, but he's working with one of the science labs. And I don't know what his process was, but I do know that in talking and emailing Fulbright, that he was able to work something out.
Great. Okay, like we have a question about where would the letter of invitation come from for projects in the arts? Would they have to be academic, or would other sources also be appropriate? So. This is for, if you're asking about the French studies, arts, humanities, and social sciences, the location here is indicated French research centers and higher education institutions. So, you want to make sure just to check with us or with the commission if you have identified this research center or institution. Just to check again with the Fulbright Commission that is acceptable research center. As long as it is not an international research center, but still just check with us. So if a potential host institution falls under a particular regional award, is it always better to apply to the regional versus all disciplines option? What do you think, Dr. Jod? I mean, what are the chances, like, in this case? What are better chances?
What I've heard from Arnaud, who directs the Franco-Fulbright Commission in Paris, is that the regional awards are much less frequently applied to, so the probability of getting funded is higher at the regional level.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's a great answer. That's very helpful. So consider that when you're applying. Should I discuss research in another region of France besides the host site university? Certainly, you're free to be creative and include that. But again, Dr. Judd, based on your experience, is this something you would recommend?
Not if you're applying for a regional award. Because you don't want to make it look like you're applying for an award in Nouvelle-Aquitaine, but you're not actually really interested in doing work there. So I would be very careful with that if you're applying for a regional award. France is just like the United States, and different regions can get a little territorial. There's, you know, some good inter-regional competition sometimes, as we also have interstate competition in the United States. So if you were going to do that, I would really limit it and make sure that you stress that you're going to spend 90% of your time in the region that is supplying the funding.
Thank you. That is very helpful to know. Another great question we have, and then we'll wrap it up because it's 3 o'clock and we need to leave. So if students expect to earn their PhD in June 2019, is it possible to apply for a postdoc research grant during the 2019-2020 timeframe? Yes, this is like a particular for the postdoc award in France. It is specified that as long as you have your PhD degree by June 2019, you would be eligible to apply. So make sure you specify this in your application, because we are indeed discussing the 2019-2020 application cycle now. So that would be all for today, and we'll follow up with any unanswered questions on an email, but feel free to reach out and feel free to send us questions, and looking forward to receiving your questions and application for France for 2019-2020 by August 1st, the deadline. It's a firm deadline. And again, thank you, Dr. Jodd, for joining us on such a late evening. It's 9 o'clock. In the evening in France now, and I hope you have a great evening, and for the audience members, have a great Friday and a great weekend. All the best to you. Bye.
Thanks.